Hola.
Hi.
Bienvenidas a Super Mamás.
Super Mamás.
This is Paulina.
And this is Bricia. We're moms and sisters.
I have two beautiful girls, Krista, who's 4, and Sabina, who's 1.
And I have a handsome baby boy, Eduardo Santiago. And we welcome you into the Super Mama Sisterhood.
We're here to help one another, inspire one another, and support each other through the ups and downs of motherhood.
I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Okay, listas?
Here we go.
This is Bricia, and this week on the podcast, my sister shares her scary child services encounter. It is a very personal story for her, and she was very brave to share it with us. So I hope you guys enjoy her story and enjoy the show.
Hola, super mamas.
Hello, ladies.
How are you guys?
Hope everybody's doing good.
Happy Tuesday, if you're listening on a Tuesday. On a Tuesday. I just think. That's, you know that? We should say that that's why we put new episodes on Tuesdays, because they're like, on a Tuesday. That's not why we did it.
You know, like, there's that website, the Urban Dictionary.
That's your favorite website. Every time Tita says something, you go on your phone and
I
look for it.
I have to be able to keep up with the youngsters. I typed in on a Tuesday.
Shut up. Stop it.
Yeah, not so long ago. I think like 2 days ago.
You didn't know what it was?
Well, and then I went and I was like, I just want to know. And then it said, when things happen on Tuesday. I was like, okay.
It's a song.
I know, but you know.
You didn't know.
No, I did know that it was a song, but I thought it was, you know, like, what was the other one that we Tita used to say a lot? Are you up or something like that?
Turn up?
Oh, turn up. Damn, I'm old.
Did you put turn up on the Urban Dictionary?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God.
But back when Elizabeth was at school.
Yeah.
Before I then.
Oh my God. Well, anyway, how are you guys doing? Paulina, what's new with you?
Oh my God. Okay. So this week I had the parent teaching conferences.
Oh, okay.
I had both of them, and you know, Krista was more informative.
Was
that
nerve-wracking? No. Like, oh, teacher-parent conference. Oh.
Well, you know, at this age, what you know, there's not a lot to.
I mean, you hope. I mean, you think, right? I don't know.
No, there is, so like, you know, her social skills and, like, you know, what the teacher needs help with. And it's my chance to, like, get to know, like, more of, like, what she does. What is she like at school? You know, I ask questions and... the teacher sent me the picture the other day, remember?
Yeah.
Like, where she was like, she had a line of boys waiting for story time with Krista. Like, oh my God, look at her. Like,
you should post that. We should post that picture.
I have it. Yeah. I'm going to post it. And we have that. And then they told me about this stage that I've noticed that it's happening at home as well. Like, she does not want to share any toys. She does not want to play. And I think it has a lot to do with Sabina, because she feels like she doesn't want to share with her. And then she goes to school and does the same thing. She's like, I don't want to play with you.
To and Sabina?
To Sabina. Or this is my toy. Whatever Sabina has in her hand, that's what she wants. And that same thing is happening at school. So we have to work on that.
Sharing.
But other than that, yeah, sharing. And they told me that she's like super compassionate. She always like cares for the other ones. Like, she wants to be like a mommy, and she's all about family and my mommy.
Aww,
and my daddy. So
that's cute.
That was good. Yeah. And then we went to Sabina's. You know, I was like, so how many times you poop? I mean, no, but we talked about, like, she has a little difficult time because she still crawls and the other kids walk.
Oh, okay.
So she gets frustrated.
Yeah.
Because she can get there quite fast. And, but, you know, they're starting to do activities like with other kids. And I was like, really? She does that? Like, she Aww. Actually sits in one place and does activities with other kids. Like, they play with, like, flour and water. And, like, they do things like touching and stuff. And mm-hmm. they tell me that she enjoys it. And she enjoys dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked the teacher, does she have a serious face when she does? She's like, oh my God, it's the funniest thing. Because she's like dancing and she's so serious.
Do you have a video of her dancing? Can we share? Because it's the funniest thing to see Sabina dance. Because Sabina has like the most like serious face. Yes. Like super just like serious, like focus on something. Like no emotion.
Nope.
But then she starts dancing with her, you know, and she moves her her shoulders around with her serious face. So it's
so funny. It's so funny. And today is actually my third day of no chichi with Sabina.
Wow.
I'm done. My breasts are done. Like,
well, she's how old? She's 14 months.
She's 15 months.
15
months.
16 months. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Like, I'm done. And today was a little hard in the morning, but since she's sleeping with Krista now, it's uh-huh. it's easier. I'm done.
Congratulations. Well, I have parent teacher conferences every day when I come home.
Yes, you do.
I get videos, I get pictures, I get the rundown of the day.
You have a really, really good daycare.
At the best, my mom.
Yeah.
My mom. I love her to death. She, yesterday she was like, oh, to this weekend I have to do my laundry. And I was like, mom, bring your laundry here. Like, do your laundry here. Like, I have a wash and dryer. She's like, she looked at me like, are you kidding? Do you think I have a ton of laundry when I take care of your son?
That is true.
Oh. Right.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Like, she's like, and now more than ever, you can't leave him alone for mm-mm. 1 second. Like, he is he's not walking, but he's climbing on things. Oh, yeah. It's weird because he doesn't like crawl like with his tummy off the floor.
No, he does a commando, right?
Yeah, he just kind of like pulls himself with his hands, but he can do it really fast.
But you know what? It's so weird, but. It's so, they're so different. Like, I'm looking at him, like, he's a boy, and yeah. like, my girls are girls, and they were not that active. Like, not like that. Like, he's just like climbing.
I posted the picture on Instagram where he climbs over my nightstand and he just stands there. And then yesterday, in storage, we had this, I don't know why I bought this when he was a baby. It was this mattress that I bought that was like on an angle.
A mattress?
Yeah. I forgot what it was called. I'd have to look it up and link it on our show notes on our website, supermamaspodcast.com. But it was supposed to help with like the grunting when he was a baby.
Oh, yeah. The reflux?
The reflex. It was supposed to like help with that. Uh-huh. I read about this mattress on the baby 411 book that it was like my Bible. Mm-hmm. It still is. And it's like, it's a mattress that's on a big angle. It's almost like a squared mattress like that.
Oh.
And you would strap him in. So he was sleeping on an angle. So like uh-huh. his digestion would work. Anyway, so we had it. I used it like twice, probably spent all this money for nothing. I was so angry. And I just didn't want to throw it away because I was like, maybe I'll use it for the next baby. So put it on storage. And yesterday, my husband took it out. And he's like, we can use it as a ramp.
Oh yeah.
So I put it on next to my bed, and now it's a little ramp that he just goes up and down. And I'm like, perfect.
Oh my God, yeah, that's a great idea.
And I would put it on his room so he can like climb over it because it's pretty sturdy. So yeah. I'm like, awesome, he can climb over. I'm like, yay,
you found
course.
Use to it.
Yeah.
No, that's what I wanted. Like before I put her in school, that's what exactly what I wanted for Sabina. Something that she could climb on, get down, because they need to burn all that energy. You know, they're like have so much energy.
And this week was also the first week that I took him back to Rye. We took like a 2 month break from our Rye classes. And I'm so happy I'm back there. And all the kids, like to see the kids with like a huge difference 2 months
right?
makes.
Right.
And all his friends were there. And there was this like climbing structure that I think I'm going to buy for the baby. That but we talked about sharing. Also, that you were mentioning sharing earlier. Mm-hmm. I told Wendy, who is a facilitator, the story of when the babies like Sabina and Eduardo like were fighting over the toy and then they were both crying, and I was like, what do I do in that moment, you know? And she said that the best thing to do is just to say, yeah, okay, like kind of not like broadcast, but to repeat like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, to go up close to where they are, get to their level and say, okay, Santiago, you had that toy and Sabina really wanted it, so she took it from you. Sabina, you took that toy away from him and you're really sad because he took it away from you. I understand. And she said that 8 times out of 10, like, they resolve the issue on their own
themselves
when they're that small.
Yeah.
So she said that sharing comes from like genuine wanting to share.
Mm-hmm.
So kids that are kind of brought up that way, when they get older, they're more like, they tend to share more because they already know what it's like to take away something,
mm-hmm,
and to want to give something else to another kid. That's, yeah, what she said. I don't know, but that was,
no, that makes sense.
That was like the tip I got from Wendy, who has, you know, has 20 years experience with babies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And she said that when things escalate really bad, like really, really bad, then she takes a toy away. But she's like, I've only done that like 2 times my entire career. Because they usually, like, there was like, you know, I think both of you guys really want this and you guys can come to an agreement. So I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it away for now and I'm going to bring it back later. And then you actually bring it back later. Yeah. But she said that that's only like on extreme conditions, like when it's just like really bad. But
I wonder how that works, like, because it's hard for me to do it with Krista and Sabina because they're completely different ages.
Yeah.
So whatever Krista understands, Sabina, like, but I've tried to do it like that. Like, and now what we're doing is we're taking turns, which seems to work so much better.
Okay.
Because I gave Sabina, and then like the minute I gave it to her, she becomes like uninterested. She's like, I don't want it anymore. So then I'm like, okay, so it's your turn, Krista, and then she'll grab it, or the other way around, you know, or I change toys, or I bring another toy. Because I've seen that Krista, especially, like, she's become very territorial with Sabina. I'm not going to say jealous. I just think, right, territorial. Like, whatever I'm doing with Sabina, it doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's just, like, I laugh because she, like, farted or something. I don't know. She wants to do the same. I'm, yeah, like, look at me, mommy. Look at me. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I see you. I'm like, oh, you're so funny. So whatever I'm doing with Sabina, I have to do it with her. And she, I think right now, it started hitting her, like, I don't know, like a month or two ago. And she's been doing that. She's been acting like, sometimes she acts like a baby. Like, if she's
still doing that.
Yeah,
huh?
So sometimes if I scold her or something, then she'll go away. And then she'll be far in the living room. She's like, gaga, gaga, gaga.
No, stop, for real?
So I swear. And I'm like, Krista, what are you doing? And she just goes like, gaga, gaga. I'm like, and I just go and I talk normal to her, you know, like, I just,
right,
I'm not ignore it, but like, I'm like, oh, so like, what do you need? Like, you want me to talk to you or something? And then she'll start talking normal, but to get my attention, she goes like, gaga.
Oh,
gaga.
My gosh. Okay, guys, well, let's take a break, and we come back, my sister and I are gonna keep talking. It's just her and I today again. Lucky you. We'll be right back. We're back.
Hello.
I just had a mamela. Oh my God. That was so good.
I know. I'm trying to arrange my husband to take Grisa to a birthday party. I'm like giving him all the instructions, like, take a gift.
Take a gift? You guys haven't bought a gift?
No.
You're like, grab one of the things that Grisa never uses that are still wrapped. That one, yeah, just throw it in a Supermama bag.
Yes.
Put some tissue paper. That's what I did last week for the baby shower.
That's a great tip, ladies.
Oh yeah, that's
no, for real, because our kids get so many things, they don't need all those toys. So
re-gift them. Re-gift them. I didn't re-gift anything for the baby shower. I mean, I got the present and I wrapped it in tissue paper and put it inside a supermama bag and put tissue paper, and then that was my—
That's good.
Baby shower.
That's good. That's
no,
good.
For baby shower, I went to her registry and got something from her registry, because I know how frustrating it is that when you get a present, it's like, I didn't register for this.
Right?
Why would anybody get me this?
And they don't give you a gift receipt.
No. So don't re-gift stuff, because that's But for birthday parties, I'm sure it's fine.
For kids, I mean, Jesus. So, and we're only going to this one because most of her friends already had birthdays in the summer, fall. So there's not going to be a birthday for a while. And she's crazy, crazy about birthdays. She like, that's why she wanted to bake that cake. Because she wanted to do a birthday party for her dad.
Aww.
She's like, oh, now we only need the balloons and the gift. I was like, okay, calm down there.
I met this, I went to this dinner this week and I met some cool people and I met this guy. And we were sitting down in dinner and he was telling me about how he has 3 kids. Mm-hmm. And I saw how my kid's 9 months and how different it is. You know, like if I lived in Mexico, I would want like 5 kids. And like here, like, you know, realistically, I only get 2 or 3. And that's a lot. Like 3 is a lot.
3 is a lot, right?
And then he was like, I mean, when you have kids, like his kids are 4, 5, and 10.
Oh, wow.
He's like, you become a driver. Like you just become a driver. That's your job. You are a driver.
Yes.
And he's like, there's so many freaking birthday parties.
The more kids you have, the more birthday parties.
He's like, oh my gosh, like every weekend is a freaking birthday party. I only go to the ones that have alcohol.
That's what my girlfriend told me last night. I was like, I can't tomorrow I have a birthday party. I was like, ugh, another damn birthday party. And she was like, well, if there's alcohol, I'm there.
As my friend's like, he's like, the worst birthday parties, oh, he's like, are the ones that they lock you in a room in one of those like places, you know, like a party person, like a party place.
Yeah.
And they lock you in a room and you're stuck there and it's all stuffy and all the kids are there.
And there's alcohol.
And there's no alcohol and there's horrible food and all the kids are just running around. It's like, I hate those. I won't go to those. I already told my wife I won't go to those.
That's why I always have micheladas at the girls' birthday parties.
And I told them about it. And I was like, you know what? That's a great thing about going to Mexican birthday parties. There's always booze. Fucking booze at baby showers. Yeah. Booze at bautizos.
One of my really good friends, I remember she had her baby shower and she had a bottle of tequila in each table. Like, she had banda. And I was like, yeah, this is my kind of baby shower. And they were like, "What, baby? There's a baby.
There's a baby. There's a baby." At the baby shower,
there's
that
a
I went
diaper
to,
bag, and there's like all these bottles of like liquor around.
Wait. At the baby shower that I went to, they had this baby shower. You know, they had a raffle. They were raffling like a 32-inch TV.
What?
I know. For the diaper raffle, I was like, what? You could buy a lot of diapers for that TV. You don't need to raffle that off.
We should do a party episode.
Wait, and there was a beer cake.
Yeah.
A beer cake. I never in my life have seen a beer cake they were raffling off. So they were raffling off a beer cake. So they had like these cans of Modelo in the bottom and then like bottles of Stella in the middle and then bottles, latas of Modelo on top. What? I was like, babe, did you see that cake? Babe, did you see that cake?
Oh my God. That's
I'm like,
so
you should
funny.
Have brought more diapers. Why didn't you tell me they were raffling these things?
I love Latino baby showers.
Yeah, they're the best. Who raffles out a beer cake for a baby shower?
So I take it was a boy?
It's a girl. Audrey. Audrey is her name.
Oh my
the
God,
baby's
that's
name.
So funny.
I know.
There's always been
and
alcohol
there was a
at
table,
baby
and
showers.
There was a table with like mezcal and cigars and all the men were in the corner smoking cigars. I'm like, why does it smell like cigarettes? And they're like, oh, they're smoking cigars over there in the corner. I'm like, it's a baby shower. There's children here.
Hey. You know, the baby
but I mean, that's how you get your husbands to go to a baby shower.
Yeah. I don't want to go. There's going to be alcohol.
There's a beer cake, hon. There's a beer cake.
We take it to the next level. We have the Michimobile and our baby showers. With music and bumping. And mom being upset because nobody wants to play the games and they want to drink.
I left once the games were starting. I was like, later.
I know. I remember that Sabina baby shower mom was mad because everybody was just drinking and nobody wanted to play. And she was like, I did all these games for nothing.
That's why my baby shower, there were no games.
No, they were not. And they were like really fancy drinks. So Eduardo's birthday is coming up. Are you planning something huge?
I keep forgetting. He's turning 1 in like 60 days.
Uh-uh. What? You're not planning?
No.
Jesus.
I know.
What is wrong with
you? I think mom's nervous. She's like, what are we going to do for his birthday? His birthday. Oh, she hasn't told me anything, though. She actually hasn't told me anything. And I have Linda's.
She's like, I have no time.
I'm planning Linda's baby shower.
Oh.
I have all these things coming up in the next 2 months. And I'm like.
Oh, and then your kids.
And then my baby's first year.
And you have to do it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep it small. As long as I have beer, I'm going to be okay. I don't want to talk about that. I'm getting anxiety.
Just do it simple.
Anyway, today, my sister and I are going to share a very private, intense story.
Yes.
How can we say this? It's an intense story that happened to you. I can't believe it's taken us this long to share it with the listeners, but I just think you were kind of...
I think also because you what weren't happened ready to you, share.
Yeah, what happened to me recently, I was you were just like, you got so just, upset.
I swear, I went home that night, I was just crying.
Oh, who's here? Oh, our brother. Fernando. Knock, dude. I like your hat. Okay.
I think because after what you told me, it just brought back all the...
Memory.
All the memory and... it makes me so mad just to think about it. And I know.
I was so pissed. I'm telling you. I was like, what do you mean? And my husband was like, calm down.
You can't calm down.
How are you calm?
So anyway, after you told me, I was really pissed. Really, really pissed. And it brought back everything. And then I said, maybe it's time for us to share it. You know? Because after hearing what happened to you, I'm like, wow. So this happens more often than not, you know? I guess you just don't really hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is what happened. 2 years ago, mm-hmm. It's been 2.5 years ago, actually, because it was during the summer. 2.5 years ago, Krista was two. No, she was about to be two. No, she was about to be two.
Mm-hmm.
She was not even two yet. And we moved. We used to live in a one-bedroom apartment, then we moved to a two-bedroom. And when we used to live in the other place, Krista was co-sleeping. We were co-sleeping. So by the time we moved, we decided to move to give her her own room.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved, it was a transition. She was 1.5. We were putting her in her own room, in her own bed. She was teething. It was a big change for her. I mean... We moved, you know? So for the first months, a couple of months, it was kind of hard for her to adjust. At night, she would cry and, you know, I live in a fourplex. So my landlord actually lives upstairs and I have two other neighbors. And I was really happy and I felt so lucky that I found that place because, you know, I love
your
my apartment.
Your place is beautiful.
Yeah, I love my apartment. It's so cute. And I was so happy that I found it. And I was just... You know, and we were in a good place. And then one morning, I remember I was having breakfast with my husband. And then all of a sudden, our phone rings. So it was actually Anita because she was housekeeping back then. And she called me and she said, oh, you know, there's a lady here looking for Krista. And it was about 10 a.m. and Krista was in daycare. And I was like, looking for Krista? I was like, what? They're like, yeah, she said she's from social services. And at that moment, my world just fell apart. And with those words, because I was like, something happened to my daughter. Why are they coming to look for me? Mm-hmm. What happened to my daughter? A million things went through my mind. Something happened at school. Something happened. So we rushed out of there. We just, got up and left. We rush to the house, and as soon as we get there, there's a lady in my doorstep, and she's asking for Krista. And I was like,
"Wait, you were where?"
I was having breakfast
here at the restaurant.
No, I was at Olympic Cafe.
Oh, you didn't invite me?
I mean, that was 2.5 years ago.
Okay, so you were having breakfast in a restaurant.
Yeah, and Krista was at school.
Krista was in daycare. Anita was at your house cleaning up,
and then somebody showed up at my house.
Okay, got it.
They showed up at my house. So I get there and there's this lady and tells me she's looking for my daughter. And I'm like, okay. And then I was so confused. I was like, well, did something happen to her? And then she dropped the bomb and she said, you know, I'm here because somebody put a complaint that you abuse your daughter. And no, actually, they said that my husband was abusing my daughter, like he was hitting her, and that I was allowing it. And I was like, what? And then I said, yeah, the complaint is that every night she cries and they can hear the hitting. And I was like, what are you like? It was the scariest moment of my life.
You feel helpless. It's almost like if you were like in jail and they were like looking at you, telling you that you're guilty, and you're like, I'm innocent. And they get like telling you you're guilty because they look at you like you're guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they separated us. They separated my husband. They separated me. I was crying. I was
and Krista's
like,
still at school.
Krista's still at school at this point. She tells my husband that he has to wait outside. We go in my house. And then she starts telling me this. She told us separately about what was going on. And I was alone. I wasn't even with my husband because he was outside. He wasn't able to be with me. I was by myself talking to this lady inside my own house. And I was devastated. I started crying. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is not right. You know, I was like, I love my daughter. Like, you feel like, what am I doing wrong? You start doubting every single thing that you've done to that point. Because I was like, maybe I did something wrong. I don't know. So then we started talking and I said, you know, my daughter she's like 18 months. She's about to be 2 years. We just moved. We moved her into a new bedroom. She's crying at night. She's a toddler. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, she does cry. She's teething. I'm taking the bottle away. It was like a huge transition. Of course she's crying. But at that point, it seemed like whatever I told her didn't really matter. Then she told us that we had to go get Krista from school and she wanted to see her. So we went together and we came back. And then she took me into Krista's room. She told me to take her clothes off so she can check her to see if she had any marks, to see if she had anything. She checked my fridge. She checked my room, my house. To make sure that I had food for the baby. She checked like to see if I had hot water. Like, I was like, she was going through my fridge full of like organic food, you know, like the room for the like for her. Like, she had her own room and it was all cute and a little tiny bed and like clothes and toys. And so she kind of seemed confused, but she was just like, I'm here to do my job.
Right.
And then so I think the moment where I felt the most violated was when they told me to take my daughter's clothes off.
I can't even,
you know, because like that's my child and
I would never
in front of her.
Oh,
and
that's just nasty.
And then like she went on to every single room. And then I said, but what did they say? Like, you know, I wanted to know, like, who would do something like this? Like, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, they say that at night you could hear the spanking. And
oh, my God.
And I was like, what? I'm like, I mean, I was like, you have kids, right? I'm like, she's a toddler. She cries. But I just at that moment also I felt so scared. So scared because you see all these stories, you know, out there that, you know, the same thing that we've talked about. Like,
well, I mean,
you know,
just social services is coming to your home.
And I remember when I reached out to who was then my mommy and me teacher because I didn't know who to call.
Yeah.
And she was.
And you were kind of alone. I mean, you know, your friends didn't have kids. I mean, we didn't have the podcast.
I actually called my best friend and she was crying. And then I called Kim Lan. And I told her and I was on the phone crying and she said, you know, she gave me some tips. She was like, write everything down, write her name, write all the information down and do exactly what she says. Because she said that social services has nobody regulates them. So they do whatever the hell they want. So what they say goes. So basically she told me that I was like, I couldn't do anything. Just do what they told me. And I was like,
that is insane.
Oh my God. Like that was, I completely shut down. I remember like my husband and I, we closed all the blinds, all the doors, all the windows in the house. And I didn't want to get out of there. I just felt like everybody was looking at me. Everybody was judging what I was doing. Like all the accomplishments or all the good things that I was feeling then, like as a mother, went down the drain. And I didn't know how to handle my child from then until the case closed.
Oh my gosh.
They put me through hell. Like they talked to the doctors, the teachers, work. I had to get like
they
recommendation
the
letters. Oh yeah, they went to the school to see if like she was traumatized or like she had bruises or something, you know. And of course the teacher was like, no. I spoke to my landlord and I told her what's happening. I'm so glad she lives upstairs. And I was like, this happened. Like, you know, like I live here. You live on upstairs. Like maybe she did it, you know?
Right.
And she was so mad. She is actually a teacher for special ed kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, she's she has knows. A lot of patience with kids. And she was so mad. And she was like, who the hell would do something like that? And she called right away. She told them, like, you know, I live upstairs. I can hear everything. Like, there's nothing going on. She was so supportive. Her husband was so supportive. I talked to my other neighbor, and she was so, like, she was like, I'm so sorry you're going through. She's also, like, she works at a cafeteria at a school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm lucky that I have those two people there. Like, right. You know, my daughters cry or something. But I do have a neighbor upstairs that everybody pointed at. That person, everybody pointed at him. My husband was so mad, like, he, you know, of course he wanted to like kick his ass, because when the social worker came and she explained the complaint to me, she specifically told me, oh yeah, it's because it was reported that a Mexican couple was living here, and you know, the daughter was, and I was like, a Mexican couple, like,
mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Like, they told you that a Mexican couple was living here? And I was like, I was like, this person is racist, whoever mm-hmm. did it. And, you know, I don't understand.
And like, your neighbor fit that profile.
My neighbor fits that profile.
Right.
Not before. Now, he still fits that profile. And my other neighbors told me, like, straight up, they were like, it was him. So I live right next door to this guy, and I had to see him every day. And every time Krista would even attempt to cry for whatever reason, I would give in immediately to whatever she said.
It just changes
everything. It changes everything. All the way that I was parenting was completely changed from one day to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think up to this day, that affects me so much. And I think that's why I have such a hard time with a lot of things, like sleep training, mm-hmm. you know, the let her cry. Like, I cannot let my kids cry because... Right. I'm fucking traumatized. Like, if I'm in the street or something and my kids cry for some reason, I'm always looking around to see if people are looking at me like, you're doing something to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so scary, and so you feel so helpless. The cops showed up at my house because they had to go and check and make sure that I was not doing something to my daughter. So like, you never know when the cops are gonna show up.
Right.
And you're like, your life, I wanted to move.
Yeah, your life is like, fuck.
Yeah, I wanted to move immediately. I wanted to get away from there as far as possible. And my husband was like, yeah, let's get out of here. Like, let's move. I'm not going to live like this. But then I thought about it and I was like, I'm not going to let that person, you know, it's not true. It's mm-hmm. obviously not true.
Yeah, and if you run away, like,
yeah.
You look like if yeah. you're doing something, you know, and then that guy is going to win.
I'm letting that person ruin my life.
Yeah.
Like, really. So then I said, no, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go anywhere. We're just going to have to fight through it.
Right. Yeah.
And
because you're innocent.
Yeah. You know, it's like, she's a child, for God's sake. Like, she cries. So I had to get letters, church, you know, friends, family, like, recommendation letter about how, like, I'm trying to prove that I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And the whole process, like, lasted from beginning to end, it lasted 2.5 months. And when I got that letter,
and that is so long.
That's
2.5 months
really
is
long
a
time.
Long time.
I mean, think that really contributed a lot to, like, my depression and all of that as well, because I was worried all the time, as anxious. I would sleep with Krista, like, every night, and I was hugging her because I, you know,
when yeah, I because they can they, I mean and then Twitter service comes like, you know, we can take your child away.
Yes.
And they say that over and over again. Yeah. You're like, what the f-? You know?
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you force yourself to start thinking about these kind of things. Well, mm-hmm. if they do take my kid away, like, what's going to happen? You know,
where's she going to go?
Where's she going to go? And I was like,
what is she going to eat?
Mom
and dad
were
sleep.
We're in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to have my parents back here, because if anything, they need to take my kid, you know, like, and you were forced to think about all these such horrible things.
Yeah.
And for some stupid person that doesn't understand what having a child means. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, when they told me that I was a good mother, and they actually interviewed Krista one-on-one like three different times. She was like almost 2 years, and she had to be with them. And
you weren't even in the room with them.
I couldn't. Yeah. And they had to see her reaction to things and how she would, you know, do. And she did well, of course. But when it all ended and I got the letter saying like, oh, your case, it was a false report or something like that. And I spoke to the girl on the phone and she told me like that she was like happy and that she knew that I was a good mother and my husband was a good father and Krista was like a good kid. It doesn't ever completely go away.
No.
You know, till this day, it does not go away. And I'm always living in fear. I'm always like living in fear of like of anything. Like if Krista walks too far away in front of me, I'm like, oh my God, somebody's going to say that I'm not taking care of my child, you know? And mm-hmm. every time somebody says like, oh, I'm surprised they haven't called child services on me. I'm like, that's no joke.
Yeah.
Because they can.
And you have no idea what that's like.
Nope. And I didn't know. We couldn't find out who made the call. But
because it's anonymous.
It's anonymous.
Yeah.
And my worry was also like, what if they keep calling? Because I don't know who that is. And I don't know if they like me. Maybe, you know, maybe they don't like me, obviously. And what if my child cries when she's older and they're going to call every time? Like, how am I protected?
Right.
How am I protected? How is one protected from those kind of things? And it's so hard. It's so hard all the time. It's so, so, so hard. And I wish... I don't wish this for like any mom
enemy.
Out there.
Yeah.
Well, any good mom.
Yeah. There. Well, yeah, any good mom. Because you think about like, why are you investigating me?
Yes.
There's like moms out there mm-hmm. who are doing, you know, heroin, you know, and, you know, you see these movies, right? And you see documentaries.
Yes.
Like, why don't you go investigate them? Like,
yeah.
I'm a good mom. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I know. And at that time, it was around, I don't know if you remember, there was around the time where a news came up about some kid in Palmdale or something like that that was killed by his mom and his mom's boyfriend. Mm. And it was because social services failed to go and check on the kid. So they got very strict for that period of time. And that's when that happened.
To you.
Because they were saying that they were taking every single phone call very serious. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, you not here, lady.
Like,
go somewhere else.
Like, does it take 2.5 months to figure out if something is like...
I know.
I mean, I don't know. Does it? Maybe it does. I'd have no idea. But it's like, I would think like if somebody comes to your house and see how you live, it would take, let's say a week would be even too much to like, no, nothing's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to say that you're beating your child, like, come on.
And then we kind of figure out why, like what had happened, which is our little theory of why it happened. The landlord found out that that person was subletting his apartment like as an Airbnb.
Mm.
And obviously my kid's crying in the middle of the night was not good for business for him. And so that's how like that's what we think. And he hates everybody that lives there.
Well,
we don't know
what
he talks to
the neighbor,
him.
But. Right. The theory is that he did it.
The theory is that he did it. He still lives there, but now he's scared of me.
That's so scary.
And I always, you know, I try to put it in the back of my head and I try not to think about it. And I try not for it not to get to me. But it does sometimes. And then, so when you told me what happened to you.
Right.
I
know, you got really mad. I was like, dude, okay.
I mean... How could I not?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'll let's take a break right now, and then let's come back with my story. Let's take a break. Let's process all this information. And then go back to my story, which is not as hardcore as yours, but it still kind of put me in that place.
Yes.
And then brought you back. So let's take a break.
We're back.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn. A couple of weeks ago, this was just, 2 weeks ago, my husband and I went for a hike with the baby. It was Saturday morning, and he had the baby and the ergo and the baby carrier. And I was walking, I had Diego with me, and we went to the top of the park and we came down. And now, ladies, where I live, there's a park right in front of my house. So
literally.
Like, I cross the street and there's a huge park. So, you know, we always walk up there. We don't drive up there because there's no need. The park's right there. So we walked up there. We walked over. We hiked to the lake. We came back. And as we were coming back, there was this cop truck just like racing through the parking lot. And we're like, dang, what happened? What happened? What's going on? And then we kept walking. And then we look behind us and they're like interviewing some people. And then they all turn to look at us and we're like, okay. So we kept walking because they're like, that's so weird. And then my husband's like, wouldn't it be funny if they just come up to us and it's like, you're under arrest or something. I'm like, I know, right? And then we turn around, we hear the truck coming right to us. Like they go up on the grass area.
What?
They put their lights on and they're like, excuse me. And we're like, what the hell? And we turn around. And there's two cops come up to me and my husband, and it's like, excuse me, sir, we just got a call that you left your baby in the car. We're like, what? They're like, I'm going to have to see some ID, please. And my husband and I don't have an ID with us because
you guys live right there.
I live I'm 2 minutes away from here. I'm walking to my house. I didn't even drive up here. What are you talking about? They're like, excuse me, miss, we just got a call saying that someone left a baby in the car and then described you guys. They described a Mexican male with a hat carrying their baby in the carrier with a woman and walking their dog. And I'm like, basically, they described my husband and I.
Yes.
And they said that we had left our child in our black truck. And then we walked away and the baby was crying in the car. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, how could that? There were so many things I wanted to say. Like, one, I don't have a black truck. Two, I didn't drive up here. Three, do you see this baby crying? Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And they took our IDs. Well, they took our names, our address. They're like, so if we run your name, you mean to tell me that there's no black truck coming back in your name? I'm like, no. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. Like, you know, make sure you're not lying to me. And I'm like, listen, sir, like, no. So they go back, they go to do whatever they do, and then the other cop stays and like, do you know that if you know, we can call child services right now and your child will be taken away from you. I'm like, excuse me? And like, and after what happened to you, I was like, started shaking,
of course.
And then my husband's like, relax. And I'm like, no. Like, and then so then, like, they're like, well, you know, we can get a hold of this other woman that described you guys. So, you know, we're going to have to put your name. I'm like, listen, like, I don't want my name anywhere near my name in child services. Like, what are you talking about? You know? And the guy came back and it's like, well, you're right. That truck didn't come back to you guys. So where do you guys live and what do you do for a living? And, you know, just started asking all these questions and I'm like, but why are you still talking to me?
Yeah.
Like it obviously that isn't my truck that like I have. You see the cars I registered under my name are not those. I live down here. I walked up here. What are you talking about? And then after like we were probably there for like 15, 20 minutes, the cops, you know, they wouldn't let us go. And then the baby's already getting kind of antsy because he was already tired. He needed to take a nap. That's why we were walking back. And I'm like, sir, like, my child needs to go take a nap. Like, what's going on? But then, like, you don't want to seem like you're rushing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're guilty, you know? And then later the guy's like, well, we spoke to the lady and she changed her story a bit. She said she actually didn't see you guys walking away from the truck. But if you guys left, if did leave your child, I'm like, no, there isn't a what if, sir. Like, so then I got really angry. I was like, there isn't a what if, sir. I did not leave my child alone in the truck, in a car. Why would I do that? Like, I don't want you guys to talk to me that way. And I started wanting to cry. And my husband was like, babe, calm down. But you feel so helpless.
Yes.
Because you're being
harassed.
Yeah, harassed. And you're being like, you did this and you did that. And you're like, I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, you're being accused of something. And then they tell you, and your child will be taken away. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. Who are you? Like, what gives you the right to talk to me when you don't even know? I mean, I don't even own a black car. And then I guess and then they told me that a couple weeks ago, someone did leave a baby in the car and the baby
passed
away.
You
guys can imagine what happened to the child. And they're taking every call very serious, which I completely.
I'm glad
they are.
But
like, who is this lady?
Yeah.
That heard a baby cry and then automatically saw a Mexican man with a baseball cap mm-hmm. and a woman and automatically assumed
that it was me
and then called the cops on me.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that I did have a black truck. Just imagine that I didn't drive what I drive and that I drove a black truck. You know, like, that, like, they would have really thought it was me. They would mm-hmm. take the baby away, and there's no way to prove that it wasn't me, because some lady
exactly
just saw me and my husband, you know, and maybe it was racial profiling, and then like said that it was me and my husband who left the child there.
Exactly. How do you fight back like hearsay? You don't even know what they said. Like, I cannot even imagine the call that they made for me. Like, what did they say? Like, oh, they spank that child every night and she won't stop crying. I'm like, yeah, but it's like 7 p.m. It's not like 2 in the morning. And mm-hmm. I'm not like, and yeah, she's crying. She's teething. She's hurting. Like, she's a baby, for God's sake. You yeah. all, you ladies all know how much our kids cry.
Yeah.
Meltdowns.
Yeah.
Like, how do they, how loud they scream? It doesn't mean that we're hitting them. It doesn't
right.
mean that. And the people that do this, I mean, at some level, I understand some sort of concern, but you have no idea what you can do to someone if you do like a fake call or like you're not sure. I mean, I'm sure you, if there's something wrong there, you'll be helping. But if there's nothing wrong there, you really can really mess up somebody's life.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand the benefits of this. And it's amazing yeah. that this country actually has something like this, you know, this country mm-hmm. has 911, has child services, has all these programs. I think it's a wonderful thing because in other countries that doesn't exist. And as there's so much child abuse, and I see the benefits completely. But at the same time, if you're going to make a complaint, just have all the facts.
Yes.
You know, and not just call because there's a baby crying. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? Like, if something's going on, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was just so upset. Like, I was the entire day, I was so mad. I was like, what?
Impotent.
Like, imagine, like, you're so helpless and they take your kid away. And I mean, I'm like, what? Seriously, I just kept thinking, like, what if I did have a black car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, what if a black truck came back to my name?
You know,
what if I own a bunch of cars and one of them happened to be black?
You know, when that happened in those 2.5 months that my case was open, Krista was still a toddler and Krista would still play and Krista would still fall.
Right.
And Krista, and I remember like right now she falls and gets up and I'm like, okay, she fall and get up. But back then, like, she would fall and get up and I would take a million pictures of every little scratch and every, and I would write down every single thing. What time did she cry? I had a log of like, oh, she cried at 7 p.m. for 2 minutes. She cried at 8 for like 15 minutes. She fell down and hit this. And I took pictures. And I was living a paranoid life. Like, if Krista was like, that time I remember she fell in school and she had a scratch in her face. Remember? Yeah, remember. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember. I cried and cried and cried because I was like, if they come right now and they see my baby with a scratch in her face, like that's it. They're taking her. So every time she would fall, every time she would like, she would hurt herself. Every time, like she was being a baby, you know, she climbs, she falls, she's doing this, we're taking to the park. Every single little thing, I wanted to like have her in a bubble. I didn't want anything to happen to her because I was so scared that if they came and saw something, they were going to take her from me. And you don't know what it feels to be threatened, to tell you that they're going to take your kid away until they freaking tell you that. Mm-hmm. And that feeling,
yeah,
it's unlike anything else.
Yeah,
I cannot describe it to you. Like when they tell you that we might take your kid from you,
you feel like running away.
I swear to yeah, God. Yeah. I called dad and I was like, Daddy, if shit goes on, I'm going to Mexico. Like, you know, yeah. You kind of see like, damn, I understand some people that are like try to flee with their kids.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
You're helpless. And then to know that child services is it's kind of like a, I guess, a organization of its own. And there's not money. Like,
there's
there's nothing you can do. You can't.
You can't fight them.
You can't. That's it. They're like, I'm taking them away and that's it.
Oh my God. And then you hear all these horror stories of like, what do you call like those houses where they put the kids, the foster homes.
And you're like, is my child, you know, even to think right now, I'm like, cause I was like, what if they take the baby and then where's he going to sleep? Like you start like just thinking of the stoop, like just you create like a tornado in your mind.
I mean, it kind of is a freaking tornado. I mean, I don't think I ate all that time. I couldn't sleep. Like, I just want her to be quiet. I just want her to be like, not cry. And so I think that also backed up a lot of my discipline. Like, my discipline skills are not the best because of that same reason. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We always forget about that.
It's like, and my sleeping thing, like it always, every decision that I make, I'm always thinking about that. I remember like when we were at the mommy and me, we were talking about sleeping and all that. And then the moms were like, yeah, well, last night she cried for like 20 minutes. And last night she cried for like 30 minutes. And I was like, I cannot do that. It drives me crazy when they cry at night. And I immediately get up and go see them because I don't want them to cry in the middle of the night because I feel like somebody's going to call. And then the worst thing is that I now have a fucking record.
That's
my biggest concern. I'm like, it was fake. It was not right. It was a false call, but it's still there. Like, right. How can you make that go away? Like if something happens in 10 years, anything, like they're gonna be like, oh yeah, but like 10 years ago, you were called by social services. And it's like, it's always there. Mm-hmm. And it's the most, like, it's one of the most messed up parts also, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want to take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a break. Sorry, guys. Okay, we'll be back.
No, I'm glad I'm
you
telling
venting
the story
it out. Yeah.
Because
I think it's important we share these things.
Yeah. Because totally. I'm sure, I hope
none of you guys have gone through it, but if some of you guys have gone through similar experience, just write to us. You know, there's so many ways to get in contact with us.
Maybe we can create a movement again.
Yeah. supermamaspodcast.com, you guys. Okay. So on a lighter note, let's go into our Supermama pick or tip of the week.
I actually have a good pick this week.
Okay, go.
During this week on the Supermama
closed Facebook group.
Uh-huh. Well, by the way, if you guys haven't joined, join. Go to our website, supermamaspodcast.com. Go on their contact, and then you'll see a little pretty cute gal there that says closed group Facebook. Just click on her, and she'll take you directly.
Yes.
And you can join this Supermama sisterhood group that it's forming. Anyway, this week, one of the moms asked about like what other podcasts people hear because she says she misses She wants more of us. But there, some of the moms made like really good suggestions. And one of them that I particularly really, really liked was a podcast for kids. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for things to entertain Krista in the car. And this one is Stories Podcast. It's a free kids story for kids. And every, they have a bunch of episodes already. And you can listen to like stories told by a girl, like
right.
So you're in the car and they can hear stories. And
oh, that's
like,
nice.
Yeah. We heard Hansel and Gretel.
Someone should do that in Spanish. You know, anyone out there who wants to start a new podcast, good idea, yeah. Guys.
Yeah, do that.
If my sister and I had more time, we would.
And she really, really, really enjoyed it. She really liked it, and I think we're going to do that. Instead of watching videos or something, I would rather her listen to stories.
Yeah, of course.
And that's a great tip. Start her love for podcasts.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
What's your tip?
My tip or pick/tip. I heard this piece on KPCC, which is the Southern California Public Radio here in LA, that's what I listen to when I am on my drive to work.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I don't know why I don't like music anymore.
Me either. I'd rather hear something.
That's why I don't know what's going on in the streets. I have to hear from my little sister, Elizabeth, tell me what's hot. But other than that, I'm like...
Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. I'm like an old lady in my car listening to talk radio. But anyway, they interviewed the co-producers of this new documentary called No Más Bebés.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard something.
When I was listening to the interview and like watching the trailer, like I wanted to cry and I got goosebumps. And I cannot wait to watch this movie. I haven't watched it, guys. So, and you know, again, we're not endorsed. Like, it's just things that we hear about.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's airing on PBS on February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who gets PBS. I don't know how you get PBS.
I think you get PBS.
Is it an open
channel?
It's open channel. Okay. Yeah. So it's airing on PBS on February 1st. There is?
Yeah. On my Google TV. Oh, no, my TV, like the smart TV, you can actually download.
The PBS?
PBS.
Oh, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Good tip. But the website is called nomasbebesmovie.com. And you guys can watch the trailer there. And I watched a trailer with you earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's about how back, I think it's the 70s, 60s, 70s.
I think so, yeah.
They were sterilizing women at the LA County Hospital.
But not only any woman.
Oh, mostly Latina women. So they would have babies, and when they would deliver, they would cut their tubes without their consent.
To control Latino population in the U.S.
And then these women didn't even know this was happening to them. Like, some woman found, like... Oh, and then like when they interviewed the producers, this woman came on who was part of the documentary. They showed like a clip of the movie, how this woman went to the doctor and they told her like, oh, you got your tubes tied. Like, and the lady was like, what? And her husband was there. And her husband was like, you did this. You did it. Like, don't try to tell me you didn't do it on purpose. Like, you know, and
yeah,
she had no support from her husband, because think about like Mexican macho males.
Exactly.
Like, and she's like, and she was crying like, and I told my husband it wasn't me, but he didn't believe me, you know. Ugh. Like, and can you imagine? Like,
I can. I mean, it's just the generation behind us.
Yeah, it goes back to the whole like not having control of what's going on. Like, I mean, I really want to watch this documentary. And if any of you guys have seen it, and if any of you guys have seen it, let us know. How do you like it? Comment. And I was looking on their website. They have a list of screenings. Oh, but right here. Watch on PBS Monday, February 1st, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. So again, guys, nomasbebesmovie.com. It's such a powerful like story. I had no idea this was happening.
I me either. And I do want to watch it. I want to know like who found out, how did it come out,
like
when did it stop?
Yeah,
because we had no idea.
Can you imagine? You go deliver, and then they tell you like, oh yeah, by the way, we cut your tubes. Like what?
Same things happening with breastfeeding in public.
Yeah,
you know, it's so stupid, but like all these people, like there's a law in Mexico and Veracruz now that you're not allowed to like breastfeed in public because you might provoke men.
What the f- seriously?
Yes, I'm serious. So all of that, like, you know, that breastfeeding shaming, like, that even women do to each other.
See, like, I feel like punching a wall through this episode.
Yeah.
Punch something, you guys.
Yes.
Not your husbands.
Maybe.
Not the radio or wherever you're listening to this. But I feel like.
Yes.
It's. Ah.
I don't know why for us women, it's been so hard to, like, be ourselves. Men can freaking pee in the middle of the street and nobody's going to tell them anything. But don't breastfeed in public because you might get raped. So stupid. So stupid. Like.
Some people are just dumb. For real.
It's hard being a girl.
Some people are just dumb. My husband has a 20-year-old daughter. She was like, some people just suck, Bricia. I'm like, you're right, Taylor. Some people just suck.
Well, you know, hopefully, I mean, you can see the big change from our mom to us.
Yeah.
So hopefully my daughters will have, like,
they'll just totally be walking around with their titties out, titties out all the time. Just like, look at my titties.
Some people already do that. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with breastfeeding.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Episode.
Thank you for letting me bend.
Yeah, but hope some of you guys find this episode helpful.
Yes.
And until next time, ladies.
We'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram _supermamas, our Facebook, Supermamas Podcast.
And our website, supermamaspodcast.com.
Join our close group.
Okay, guys, we love you.
Thank you, ladies.
We will see you next week.
See you next time. Supermamas. Bye.
Bye.